If someone offered you a crisp $1 bill in exchange for 2 quarters, what would you do? You'd hand over the 2 quarters without hesitation, right? And what if you had the opportunity to exchange 2 quarters for a dollar bill over and over again? Would you keep doing it until you ran out of quarters? Absolutely. You'd even take some of the dollars you've accumulated, go to the gas station for change, and keep trading 50 cents for a dollar for as long as you possibly could, right? And that's the theme of today's 7-Figure Small episode. We're exploring how to leverage a client services business not only into plenty of high-quality clients, but also how to intentionally move beyond clients into productized services and digital products. Stick around for more. Welcome to 7-Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, Brian Clark here and welcome to the show. Today we're going on a trip back in time to before I started Copyblogger, a full 20 years ago. As a quick recap, my first ever business in 1998 involved publishing entertainment-based email newsletters. Only problem was a complete lack of a viable business model, so it eventually failed, which turned out to be a good thing. To support myself in the meantime, I had started another email newsletter focused on legal issues and the internet. This was my first official move into what we now call content marketing, and it worked like a charm. Once the dot-com crash happened, it was clear what I needed to do. I ditched the first business and took what I had learned about landing clients with a legal newsletter to start a new business, a virtual real estate brokerage firm. I also got to apply what I had learned over the last 2 years of studying copywriting, principles of direct marketing, and the early practice of SEO. It all came together in what I consider to be my first true entrepreneurial endeavor, a real business that did not involve the practice of law. The first step was to uniquely position the business. I did that by only representing home buyers and then later investors. My website copy explained how working with a buyer's broker protected you from conflicts of interest with the way real estate typically worked and resulted in a better price and terms. Next, I created 2 email autoresponder sequences with content based on 2 different client cycles: 30 days for first-time homebuyers, and a year-long sequence for those relocating from another area. This was based on my research of typical home buying behavior. With that, I was ready to go. I just needed traffic, and I had a 2-pronged approach in mind for that as well. The long game would be search engine traffic. I had a unique strategy of creating town-specific microsites devoted to homes for sale in that area. Over time, these sites began generating both instant and long-term leads. Zillow would later do this at scale, starting 4 years later in 2006. But I needed clients immediately, so the short-term strategy was pay-per-click ads that targeted the same keywords I was hoping to rank organically for down the line. This is how I had a 6-figure real estate business in under 3 months. I found that for every $1,000 I spent on pay-per-click ads, I made $10,000 in commissions, and these homes were in the $150,000 to $250,000 lower price range, so I was working with at least 3 clients a month. But the important thing was that it worked. The combination of nothing more than websites, email lists, and online advertising had resulted in a successful solo business. Before the end of the first year, the SEO strategy kicked in and my deal flow went up. Soon I brought in other realtors to handle some of the home buyer leads and partnered with a commercial broker to start representing investors looking to purchase small apartment buildings. I never stopped the PPC spend though. Why would I? It was literally trading dimes for dollars. Pay-per-click is way more competitive now than it was back then, but the principle of ROI advertising remains. The interesting thing is that once I created the initial website copy, microsite content, and email sequences, I basically never created content again. And that was a blessing because I was way too busy running the business that I didn't have time anyway. From there, you know what happened. I almost died in a snowboarding accident and realized that I had set out to become a writer, not a broker. I also saw Web 2.0 coming along with the commercialization of blogging, and that's how Copyblogger was born. And that's when we entered the golden age of content marketing and social media. No advertising required to build juggernaut authority sites and large email audiences. In other words, it wasn't that I was suddenly against ROI advertising. It's just that it wasn't necessary if you knew what you were doing. Later, the beginning of the end of the anomaly happened. Mark Zuckerberg pulled his epic bait and switch by making people pay to reach the followings they had built on Facebook. But it ushered in another temporary era, one in which highly effective and inexpensive social advertising also made fortunes for people who knew what they were doing. This was a time where it was relatively easy to perform ROI advertising with things that were less expensive than client services, things like books, courses, membership sites, etc. These days, all you hear is frustration from most Facebook advertisers who are selling products. And for some reason, it doesn't seem to occur to most client services providers to advertise at all. It's true. I was talking to someone in the freelance writer market about ROI advertising, and she said she had never heard of anyone telling writers to advertise for clients. It was always, create great content, as if that's not what they did all day for their clients. Which brings us to the question, what would I do if I started today? Well, that brings us to the concept of the personal enterprise, which I started talking about in 2019 over at Further. The concept recognizes that most people start with client services when they go out on their own. Those who go beyond into digital products build audiences and develop products based on something they learn from working with clients. I then brought those concepts into our training for community members on the unemployable side of things. And the response to this new strategy has been astounding. In a nutshell, I would once again start with client services. And just like 20 years ago, I would get rolling with ROI advertising. Because when you have relatively expensive services with high margins, it's easy to make online advertising work. These days, I'm focused on email sponsorships and advertising. But most forms of online advertising work with promoting client services. From there, I would take a different, more intentional approach to moving beyond a pure service business. Back when I started Copyblogger, I had discovered my topic, which was the power of content marketing and copywriting, thanks to those service businesses. But I had to start from scratch with a new audience because there was no carryover from my real estate business. So I built the audience and launched a cohort-based course 18 months later in 2007. Starting over today, I would instead use the experience of serving clients in a specific niche or industry to productize into a cohort-based course for that same niche or industry. After all, a course you teach live is charged for as a product, but it's essentially a service because you're there teaching. This is essentially how college courses work. You pay a standardized tuition for a class like it's a product, but then the professor shows up to teach a class for the semester, which more resembles a service. The difference here is that a cohort-based course can then be repackaged into a self-paced course, and suddenly you've got a true digital product. Now, I admit there are some tricky aspects to this, and that's how to build a broader audience while still picking up the most motivated prospects for your one-on-one client services. If you can serve and nurture that broader audience over time, you can then develop cohort and self-paced courses at lower price points. Mix in some affiliate marketing, and you've got your own thriving personal enterprise. But you're not done yet. If you so choose, you can look for opportunities involving events, software, sponsorship, masterminds, and more. And none of this involves you creating massive amounts of content. Yes, you need some high-impact content, just as with my real estate business 20 years ago. But it needs to be the right content in the right format to get the ball rolling. When I was speaking at Cabo Press last week, I heard the same thing from people over and over. I'm creating content, but I'm not getting results, and I'm getting burnout. I know many of you out there feel the same way. It's a major problem, and I'd like to share with you the strategic solution that I've been teaching for the last couple of years. If you're not getting the Playbook email newsletter, you're going to want to sign up if you're not already. That's the only place you'll hear more about the strategy and the training. Simply head to theplaybook.email to subscribe. That's theplaybook.email. More soon. Have a great week and keep going.